This week's mailbag comes to us from Rachel. Lisa and team, you've totally got me hooked. I just received my Sunday basket a week ago, and it's a total game changer. I didn't think things were falling through the cracks before, but now I realize how much my efficiency was impacted by all the little things that pop up through the week. Now that I'm hooked, I feel like getting an entrepreneur box for my business is essential. And the price feels like a bargain compared to hiring a coach or spending hours developing my own organization systems. It's a challenge I would relish, but it's truly not the best use of my time. Thank you, team, for giving me a great solution that I didn't even realize I desperately need. Thank you, Rachel. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Hey everyone, I am super excited to be talking to you today about three reasons you can't get organized and what to do about it. Before I get started, I want that you download a sheet that we have that goes along with this presentation. If you're watching this in a replay, just go ahead and pause it and download this sheet. If you're watching it or listening to it on a podcast, you can go ahead and download the sheet later or stop and go download it now. But to download the worksheet, just go to organize365.com/3reasons, and you'll get this little worksheet that we're going to fill out. So this is a replay for the masterclass I've been doing here in the month of April, and I'm also going to air this on the podcast on May 10th. And the name of this masterclass is 3 Reasons You Can't Get Organized and What to Do About It. And this message is one that I've been refining over the last couple of years. I put a lot of the things you've heard in the podcast in the past all together in order to help you with why are you stuck? Why are you not getting organized? It has nothing to do with your spouse, your house, your money, your time. Those are the things we think are holding us back. They are not the things holding you back. It is the things in this masterclass. So let's get started. So my name is Lisa Woodruff, and I want to tell you a little fun stuff about me while we get started. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and Cincinnati is the chili capital of the world. It's like where chili was invented, and we have all these different chili makers, and the top two are Gold Star and Skyline, and I am a Skyline girl. So if you are watching the video, and you could see the video inside of the show notes if you're on the podcast. If you're watching the video, that first picture was taken by my son at Skyline when we were enjoying a meal together. I like to get a deluxe burrito, all chili, no onion. The second picture is of Hunter. That's my dog who you just heard bark in the background. He's a Shiba Inu. He's not controllable, partly because I'm not a good dog owner and I haven't trained him. But he's adorable and I love him and he's in a lot of my Insta stories. And then I have a picture of me with Culver's onion rings. This is my go-to. Like some of you like a nice glass of wine or, you know, a good piece of chocolate. I like an onion ring, a hot, salty onion ring from Culver's. If I want a treat or I'm stressed out, that is where you'll find me. I have 2 podcasts currently. One is the Organized 365 podcast, which you might be listening to this on, where you guys, we have 4.3 million downloads. That's an insane amount of downloads. Super fun. I talk every week about organizing your house, your mindset, productivity, things like that. And then I have an episodic podcast called the Sunday Basket Podcast. And in that, it's 29 episodes. It starts with episode 1, no paper is organized. By episode 29, you understand the Sunday Basket work boxes and binders and getting all of your paper organized. I also have authored 2 books recently. One is called The Mindset of Organization. I'm going to dive into the content of that one here in this masterclass. And the second one is How ADHD Affects Home Organization. That breaks down the 8 executive functions of the brain and how, if you have any struggles with any of those, how that will manifest as disorganization in your house and what you can do about it. So you're in the right place if you're watching this replay or listening to this podcast and you've tried to get organized before, but you still feel unorganized. Like, what is the deal? Well, let me take you back to December 2011 when I quit my teaching job. And when I quit my teaching job, I was working because we needed the money, and my husband was working because we needed the money. But at this point in December, my husband and I kept taking days off of work unpaid because we had to attend to our kids' needs. Like, our kids needed us, and nobody else could take care of our kids but us. So one of us would keep having to leave work, but we were out of sick and vacation and personal days. So we were taking days unpaid in order to go home and be mom and dad. It was the Thursday before winter break, and I was called into the most ridiculous parent-teacher meeting I've ever been called into. Like, it was so pointless. It could have waited until January, or frankly, not happened at all. And at the end of that meeting, I was held back by the principal to then be like treated like I was 9 years old and given some ridiculous lecture. And as I was on my way home, I was like, you're 39 years old, a wife, a mother, running multiple businesses, and you're staying after school the day before winter break to be lectured by a principal. Like, I was just done. Like, I was done being lectured to. I was done having someone else in control of my time and making my priorities based on the fact that we needed money. So I quit my teaching job. And the reason why I quit my teaching job was because of all the things I was doing. There were so many things I was doing. I was the only one who could be mom. Someone else could be a teacher. Someone else could do everything else I was doing, but no one else could be mom. So I quit my job. You know, you have to do your 2 weeks, and I gave 4 weeks. And anyway, it's like the end of January. I'm finally at home. I'd gone to the grocery store by myself. The kids are in school. You know that feeling when you go into your house and nobody else is there and it's just you? Isn't it marvelous? I had brought all of my groceries home, and I was ready to put them away. And I hadn't been to the grocery store like that, you know, where you lazily go up and down every aisle and collect all the stuff that you don't have in a long time. So I had a lot of bags. And when I got to my kitchen, I realized there was no place to put anything because my kitchen counters were full. And if you've seen pictures of my kitchen, you know how ridiculous that is because I have more kitchen counters than anyone I know. So it's like, that's fine. I'll just put the stuff on the floor and then I'll put it away later. And when I went to open the cabinets and the refrigerator and the drawers, I realized every single drawer was a junk drawer. Every closet was full of stuff. I didn't even know what was in these closets anymore. My house had gotten so out of control. It was bulging at the seams with so much stuff. Yet our bank account was empty and maxed out. And I felt like I was in this weird conundrum where we had so much physical stuff, I didn't even know what we had, but we had no tangible assets in order to make any difference. So I sat down, I put away the perishables, I sat down at the kitchen table, and I thought, okay, what am I going to do? Like, A, I need to make money. My husband's like, you need to make money. I'm like, I know. But also I knew I couldn't go on anymore like this. Like, I couldn't go on in the chaos anymore of not even knowing if I was coming or I was going. So I sat down, I made a list of all the spaces in my house that needed to be organized. And I set out to knock those out one at a time. I started organizing my house when I didn't have time or money. And I decided to prioritize my time in my house over earning money because I just couldn't go on this way anymore. Like, I frankly was depressed. I've been depressed for about 3 years since my father had passed away, and I had to handle that estate, and the recession and the economy in 2008 and 2009 had taken out my primary income source, was a direct sales company that went out of business. And I just felt like for the last 3.5 years, I hadn't been in control of anything. You know what it's like when you feel like you're not in control of anything? And the only thing I could think of to regain control of was my house. It wasn't easy, but it was what was best for my family. And over the past 7 years, I could say I have definitely become the mom that I set out to be in 2012. This is a picture of Joey and I. If you were at the conference last year, he ran sound. He'll be there again at Embrace this year. We would love to see you. This is our last national convention we're going to do. He's off at college in an entrepreneurial college, becoming an audio engineer. And those 7 years that I was able to invest in driving him to middle school and high school and finding out what he was uniquely gifted at and crafting and creating this lifelong goal for him has turned out marvelously. I am so glad I quit my job and invested in my kids. And I'll tell you about that story here in a minute. But first, this is the first thing holding you back. What is your why? What is the reason why you're listening to this podcast or watching this replay? Why are you thinking now is the time to get organized? Because let's be honest, this is not the first time you've thought, I've got to get organized. You've thought it maybe over and over and over again for decades. This is not the first time you've thought about getting organized, and there's some reason why you aren't organized yet. Why? This is very unique to you, and the other thing I want you to think about is your why is going to change over time. Your why for wanting to get organized today will be different 6 months from now, a year from now, 6 years from now. You don't need to worry about that. That doesn't matter. Why today, right now, as you're hearing my voice, are you thinking, that's it? I want to get organized. I'm going to give you some suggestions, but also listen to your gut and see what is coming up as to why you think now is the time for you to get organized. Do you feel like a chicken with your head cut off? Basically, you feel frazzled, pulled in all directions, generally feeling like you look like you don't know what you're doing, even though you really do. Like you would like other people to understand by looking at you that you actually have it all together. Or do you love having a nice home? Like you've really created a nice organized home, but now it's your full-time job and you want to be able to pursue other passions, interests, and hobbies other than homemaking. Or do you want to be able to actually open the door and invite a neighbor in or an unexpected guest and not worry about, oh, the house isn't organized or clean enough like I'd like it to? Or how about peace? Do you just want to be able to say, my house is peaceful. I can't wait to get home. I love to get home. I don't feel like I have 800 to-dos staring at me. I could just sit down, read a book, and it's very peaceful. Or maybe you want everything to have a place. You moved in decades ago, but you never identified a place for everything. And so when you go to put things away, you don't even know where to put them away. Everything does not have a place yet. Or the one we're hearing more and more often is that you want to break the family cycle of disorganization that you were born into and are now perpetuating for your kids. You've been listening to me and you're like, you know what? I get it. Organization is a learnable skill, but I never learned it. Frankly, the people around me didn't learn it. I didn't even know this was a thing I could learn. So now that I know I can learn organization, I really, really want to pass that on to future generations. So go ahead and write that down on that paper that you got at organize365.com/3reasons. Or if you're having trouble, just go to organize365.com/quiz, and that will guide you through getting some of the answers we're going to do in this masterclass as well. All right, the second thing that is holding you back is understanding what season of life you're in. And this is what I unpacked in the book, The Mindset of Organization, which is also available on Audible if you haven't listened to it yet. But in that book, I basically realized that as I started my professional organization journey in 2012, that I was organizing children from as young as 7 to women as old as 87. And this professional organization journey started 3 months into 2012 when I finally realized I was a professional organizer. I didn't know I was. But as soon as I knew I was, I dove deep into that and I thought, that's great. I know how to organize. They don't. I'm going to go organize them. It was over the course of organizing over 100 women in Cincinnati that I realized organization was a learnable skill. But along the way, I also realized that each generation organizes differently. And I'm going to talk about 4 generations, which also coincide with 4 different phases of organizing. The first one is kids. Kids can definitely learn to get organized. Some are born organized, some aren't, but they can learn it just like they learn everything else. And what I found with the kids, with the childhood generation, was the biggest thing holding them back to getting organized was their mother. Because mom would ask the decluttering questions with sometimes an ulterior motive. Like maybe she spent a lot of money on the thing the kids wanted to declutter, or she thought the thing that they wanted to keep was really ratty and didn't really match the decor of the bedroom and wanted it to go. And so my job as a professional organizer with kids was to do just as I did as a school teacher, sit down on the floor with the kids and say, okay, why is it you don't like to wear turtlenecks? What's the matter with those shoes? Why do you think that your stuffed animals are staring at you in the middle of the night? And when they would give me the answers or tell me what they liked and didn't like in their room, their only decision that they had to make with me was if they wanted to keep it or not. If they didn't want to keep it, we put it in the hallway. And everything they did want to keep, then we ended up containerizing and giving a space in their bedroom, kind of like a classroom, but I told them it was their mini apartment. So we created little tiny zones inside of their bedrooms, the stuffed animal zone and the dress up zone and the homework zone and the getting ready zone. And as they got older, the makeup zone or the Lego zone or the sports memorabilia zone, whatever it was of interest to them, got a little area in the bedroom, kind of like if you think about a classroom. Like a classroom has a math area and a reading area and a science area. I just changed the labels of those so the kids knew where to put stuff back. So when organizing kids, mom could have anything she wanted that the kids didn't want out of the bedroom. However, she had to put it somewhere else other than in their room because that was their apartment. And they then were responsible for the ownership and for the cleanliness and organization of that space going forward. So I loved organizing kids. Then I got into adults, and millennials are right now 20s and mid-30s are the age of millennials. Now, first of all, there are a lot of connotations that go with generation. Some people think that their generation is great. Some people don't like being identified with their generation. Don't read too much into this. You are whatever you are. It's no big deal. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not great. But for millennials, I love millennials. Millennials are typically, right now, the Pew Research Institute is saying that the millennial generation is 1981 to 1999. That's the age range of if you were born during that time, you are considered a millennial. And one of the things I noticed about this millennial generation right now is they're not really into physical objects, they're more into memories. So they store their experiences in memories versus things. This is going to be important in a few minutes. The biggest organizational struggle for millennials, no matter how little they actually keep, is having a place for their stuff in their new home. They've left their childhood home, they've moved into an apartment or a condo or a house, and they realize that A, they own nothing, so they have to accumulate everything, and B, once they accumulate it, where does it go? So I want to hang up a picture. I need to go to the store and get a hammer and nails. Okay, I hung up the picture. Now where do hammer and nails go in this house? Okay, I'm going to clean the house. I need a vacuum. I need a broom. I need a mop and all that. Okay, where is that going to go? How am I going to store that? So every single thing you want to do when you move into your new house involves going to Home Depot or Walmart. And then after you actually get the task done, involves, okay, now where do we keep that kind of stuff in our house? When you move out, you realize you own nothing. And you've been borrowing everything from your parents. And this is fine. That's normal. That's what everyone does. Along the way in your 20s and 30s, you often will accumulate more than a hammer, nails, and a broom. You may accumulate a spouse, a kid, or two, or three, different jobs. You may move. You may inherit possessions from family members who have passed away. And your whole job in your 20s and 30s is to learn how to accumulate more and find a place for it to go. Accumulate more and find a place for it to go. In 2012, as I was getting ready to go through my house, I was leaving that accumulation stage because I was turning 40 that year. And I had been spending my whole 20s and 30s accumulating everything in this house. And then I let it go. So you will hear in my story how I just started decluttering like crazy. And most of getting organized in your 20s and 30s is decluttering. Then I was moving into the survival phase, which I say usually is like 38 or 39 until about 55. Just depends. You go through these stages in order, but the time frame can change. Right now, the people who are in their 40s and early 50s are Gen X. That's me. We just mark our generation with an X. No one really cares. Although somebody said X stands for exceptional, I think I'm going to start saying that. Generation X is much smaller than the baby boomers or the millennials on either side of them. We are almost all in the workforce right now, even if women have been home with their kids in their 40s and early 50s, they will at least take on a part-time job for retirement needs or for kids' college needs. So most of us are working in some capacity. And those of us that aren't are in some heavy volunteer role, and we are literally helping the schools and the churches and the communities in our area run because we have such large volunteer roles inside of there. Generation X has a lot of sandwich smushiness going on. Like, we're taking care of our kids who are the highest special needs population of all time. Like, the amount of children that qualify for IEPs is super high. We're taking care of our parents or grandparents. And a lot of women in their 40s really start to realize that, hey, what do I want to do? Like, I'm so used to serving others, but I have something unique inside of me that I want to bring out in the world. And how do I do that? Like, can I please get out behind the dishes and the laundry and the driving and the job and do anything other than 30 minutes a week of me time? Like, I want to be creative. I want to create something new, but we're always in our car, so we can't get organized because we're in our car. And that's how I've been the last 7 years. Like, how do you juggle being the mom and taking care of the house stuff and starting a business? All those things are in that survival stage. Now I am leaving survival, even though I'm only 47, and I'm moving into the downsizing and legacy phase because my kids are moving into college and beyond, and I am ready to move into that more simpler, minimalistic lifestyle. Like I said, these phases of life do follow generations and your age groups, but you can move into some sooner. So I'm moving into legacy sooner than I think would normally happen, like around 55 or 60, because I've already lost a parent. Once you have settled someone's estate that is close to you or cleared out your family home, all of a sudden you realize how much stuff you have in your house and how much work it is to process through all that stuff. And so then stuff tends to have less meaning. Now, the last phase of life, which is downsizing and legacy, is mostly where baby boomers are. They're like 55 to 70 years old. The traditional designation of a baby boomer is born in 1946 to 1964. Now, my mom and dad were born in 48 and 49, so they're on the very older end of baby boomers. They're like, you know, the first baby boomers. And the baby boomer generation is so big size-wise and age-wise, because it spans a whole 18 years, that there are some people who break it into older baby boomers and younger baby boomers. So as you hear me talk about baby boomers, my frame of reference is my parents, who would have been at the front end of that baby boomer. My husband was born in 1967, so he's one of the oldest in Gen X, but you know, it's hard for me to think that like just 3 years older than Greg is still a baby boomer. So the baby boomer, you know, all of these generations are very, very big, and you will find yourself identifying with one or the other as you go through life. But it's good to know, what phase of life are you in? Are you accumulating? Are you surviving, or are you in downsizing and legacy? And what generation do you belong to? Are you a millennial? Are you Gen X? Or are you a baby boomer? We have all three in the Organized 365 community. 50% of us are Gen X, 30% baby boomers, and 20% millennials. So inside the 100-day program, we have all different age groups represented. The thing that I notice is difficult for baby boomers and millennials specifically, if the parent is a baby boomer and the child is a millennial, is they store their memories differently. Baby boomers store their memories in physical objects. And so when they look at a physical object, they remember that experience. Millennials store their memories in experiences. So the object doesn't mean anything. The experience means something. So when a baby boomer is going to clear out their house and go through their house because they're going to downsize or whatever they're doing, and they're ready to give to their child the child's memories that the child has stored at their house and also the things that they've saved for that child for the future, the millennial is not always gracious in receiving of those physical things because A, they don't value physical things as much. B, they're living in smaller houses or they're transient living. And, you know, they're trying to spread their wings. They don't want the stuff from the house following them wherever they're going. To which baby boomers feel like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that you are not grateful for all this stuff that I've saved for you and I've cared for you. And there's this disconnect between the two generations. The best solution possible is for both people to get together in the home of the mom and dad and go through the items in the storage room together. As you go through the items in the storage room together, A, we're cleaning out the storage room, so that's a win. B, you could take home what you want to take home, child, and put in your house. That's fine. And C, you're creating an experience while you're going through that storage room. You're going to be able to share the memories, laugh and cry over all these things that you find that are physical in the storage room. And at the end of that day, the memory will have been passed from one generation to the other, but the item that held the memory doesn't necessarily need to be held onto once the memory is transferred. So if the baby boomers can start to realize that really what they're trying to do is transfer the memory from them to their children, and the children can realize that this is how they process transferring that memory, then both of you can give up the physical item and move on. All right, so there's room for you on your paper to write down what generation you're in and what phase of life you're in. Now, the next thing that I want to talk to you about, okay, so also back on that point real quick. As you transition from one phase to the next, your whole life gets shaken up like you're inside of one of those snow globes. So I quit my job. Yes, that was chaotic, but I was also turning 40 and my kids were entering middle school and I was firmly moving out of accumulation and into survival. It did not matter that my house was going to be disorganized no matter what, no matter how organized of a person I am, which I am a very organized person, because the way I organized that house when my kids were babies and in grade school is not how I need that house to function for middle school, high school, and children going into college. And now, this year, our household operations have gotten shaken up again as Joey's gone off to college. Abby has moved into the basement for her mini apartment to finish her homeschooling and her high schooling. And I've moved into her bedroom as my office. Like, we're moving all the different rooms in our house again as we're moving into this next phase of life, which is downsizing and legacy and mom working from home and the kids starting to spread their wings and go out on their own. So as you go through those two big phases, your house is going to change how it functions, and that's why your organization needs to change as well. All right, so if you're not in one of those big changes, you're like, well, that's great. My house is just a hot mess, and I'm like in the middle of accumulation, survival, or downsizing and legacy. Fine, no problem. Now we need to figure out where you are in the cycle of organization. So inside of each of those phases, you go through this same cycle each time, which is decluttering, organizing, and increasing productivity. So let's jump back to 2012 in January, when I started organizing my house. So I went through all these spaces in my house, which are now the 100-day home organization program. I went through them in those 100 days. And at the end, I literally, no doubt about it, eliminated 50% of what we had in our house. I mean, every single day I was taking carloads of stuff to Goodwill, donating furniture. We had a huge garage sale, like so much physical stuff left our house. I thought there was going to be nothing left. Frankly, Greg thought I was going to declutter the kids because there was stuff going out of this house so much. I was donating. At the end, I was so proud of myself. I was like, yes, I am organized. I have done such a great job. I had launched my professional organization business. What I found out in the fall when I went back through those same 100 spaces in my own home was this. 85% of what I had done was decluttering. 15% was organizing. What do I mean when I say that? What I mean is I got rid of a ton of stuff that we didn't love, we didn't need, or we didn't use. However, I had not put in any organizational systems. I had not married like with like items. I had not created any better functionality in our house. I had just reduced the load of stuff in our house hugely. So we'll come back to that in a minute. In the summer, between when I did the first session and the second session, I decided I was going to do the same thing for our paper. I was going to organize our paper. What I ended up doing was touching every single piece of paper we had in files and binders and piles and everywhere. It took me all summer. I even took paper to the swimming pool, and I sorted paper every time the kids wanted to go to the pool. I was sorting paper every time I was not physically organizing someone else's house. Again, I decluttered probably 80% of our paper, but it was not organized yet. I just put it back in the filing cabinet. I didn't at that time understand that filing cabinets would not solve my problem. I just reduced my paper load. Now in the fall, I went through my whole entire house again, all 100 spaces again, and this time I did set in some organizing. I would say 50% of what I did was decluttering. I was still decluttering, and 50% was setting up organizing. I can remember one of the things that I organized first were nail clippers. You know, nail clippers to clip your toenails and your fingernails? No. Well, I had middle school kids, and we could never find nail clippers. Like, ever. Whenever you wanted to clip your nails, we could never find them. And when I did this organization, do you know how many pairs we had? 9. Not 4 people, 9 pairs. We could never find any of them. At that time, I said, fine, they are always going to be in mom and dad's bathroom. All 9 of them went there, into there, so the kids would know where they were. And then anytime I found nail clippers, wherever they were, all over the house, I would take them and I would put them in my bathroom drawer again. So that was organizing, deciding where each thing was going to go, and then putting them back in that place. So 1 year in to my organizational journey, it would have been easier if I could have followed my plan I have now, but I was creating it as I went. I was now ready to increase productivity and finish organizing. That's all I'd gotten done in the first year. And I found out that decluttering is easy and physical. Like, it's exhausting. It takes a lot of gross motor. You're getting rid of a lot of stuff. It's pretty easy though. Most people can go into other people's houses and declutter. I can even go into your house and start decluttering without asking you very many questions. We know what's trash. We know what's broken. We know what's not working. We know what clothing no longer is the right size. Like I will organize kids' bedrooms and I'll be like, okay, they're a 6X size. So everything under 6X either goes or gets boxed up for the younger child. I could do that without any direction from a homeowner inside of a house. So decluttering is easy, but it's very physical. Organizing is very hard and it's mental. And this is where most of us stop. We're great with Marie Kondo, declutter everything that you don't need, but then what do you do with what's left? Like how do you create an organizing system? This is what is learnable and teachable, but we have not been taught how to be organized. If you're not an already organized person, usually what you tend to do is just keep decluttering. The problem is you're going to declutter things A, that you want or need, in order to get that feeling that you got the first time that you started decluttering, that nice high of like, ah, oh, it's so much lighter. I feel so much better. But when you keep decluttering, instead of pressing into organizing or learning what organizing is, then you over declutter and you can't figure out what to do next. Productivity is what everybody wants. Everyone wants to live a productive life, but you cannot learn productivity skills if you are not already organized, because productivity is an outpouring of an organized life. It is a byproduct of living an organized life. It's not something you can create first and then the organization follows. The organization has to come first and then productivity follows after that. Now, I want to really deep dive into this with you. Like as I was saying that, you might be like, oh yeah, I could think of some spaces where I over decluttered, or that makes a lot of sense. I do want productivity. And you're thinking, how do I get organized? So let's dive into this a minute. And there's a space on your paper to do this. Right now, in your house, if I said which spaces either are organized, or if I gave you the weekend, you could organize on your own, what are you going to write down? Most people in the surveys on the live masterclasses have said kitchen, linen closet, bathrooms, sometimes their closet, if they've been good at doing their closet. Those are the top four that we hear that people know how to declutter on their own and organize. So my next question to you is, what spaces do you avoid organizing? And most people answered basements, attics, garages, hot mess rooms, bedrooms, sometimes the laundry room. And that's what I find. What I find is you know how to organize the kitchen. Push come to shove, put you in there long enough, you can get the kitchen working. Bathroom's a small space, pretty obvious. You use it, you don't use it, unless your passion project is makeup, you're pretty good to go. You can get a bathroom organized. Linen closet, again, confined area, you have way too much in there, but push come to shove, you can organize that. And we figure because we can organize those spaces, we should be able to organize all spaces in our house. And that is not true. That is not true. There is different organization for storage rooms and for children, which we don't address children in the 100-day program, but that is coming this summer. There are different organizational skills, and you're building your organizational muscles. But if you're only organizing certain spaces over and over and over again and not pressing into those other spaces, it just means that you need to learn a few more skills. So we're going to start putting this together. You know your why, you know what phase of life that you're in, you're starting to understand your organizational cycle and where you are in the decluttering, organizing, increasing productivity. And I want to add another layer onto this with you. You've heard on the podcast a couple of times, I talk about how I organize my house 3 times a year. I divide my planner 3 times a year. Like everything for me happens 3 times a year. And it's not an accident that I'm doing this masterclass in April, because this is one of the natural times of year where you want to get organized. Remember when I asked you earlier, I said, why are you thinking about getting organized now? Part of it is just because of the time of year it is. So we naturally, January 1st, time to get organized. In sometime in the spring, depending where you live, it's time to get organized. Spring cleaning, all of a sudden you get a nice day and the windows are up and you're cleaning bed sheets and you're cleaning out the garage and you want to weed the yard and you have no idea where this energy came from, but you are ready to get organized, right? And then it will happen again also around that back to school time. You'll want to get some office supplies. And as soon as Labor Day hits, you're like, game on. I am ready to be productive. I am ready to be organized. Each of these 3 New Years hit on 2 out of 3 of those cycle of organization I just told you about, decluttering, organizing, increased productivity. So think back to January 1st. Everyone has the organization sales, right? Like Target, Home Depot, Container Store, all of them. Everybody's selling all their organizing products. And you were like, I have got to get me some. Like, I want to get some new Sterilite containers and organize. I am going to get organized. And because you're so excited about getting organized, which is the primary energy, you followed up with the secondary energy of decluttering, because you have to declutter in order to fit everything into your new organizing containers. So productivity is not part of January, but organizing and decluttering is. Again, late spring, productivity is not one of the energies. Decluttering and organizing is, but they reverse orders. This time they're in the right order. Spring is all about decluttering. Like, you clean out the garage and you clean out the bedrooms and you donate everything, or you have a garage sale. Notice how many garage sales there will be. You're decluttering, decluttering, decluttering. Because you declutter, you look around and you realize you have less stuff left, but what you have left does not have a home. And the things that do not have a home but you want to keep, you go out and buy organizing supplies for, or you find an organizational solution because you have decluttered. So it's in the right organizing energy. And then Labor Day, what will happen is the primary energy is productivity. The last quarter of the year is, there's Black Friday for a reason. It's because when all the retailers go in the black, they run their entire businesses for 11 months in a deficit so they can be profitable in the month of December. It's true in almost every single business that you earn and do the most in the last quarter of the year. So you're ready to be productive. And in order to capitalize on that productivity energy, remember, productivity is an outpouring of organization, you have to be organized. So then you go back and you get organized so that you can be more productive and profitable at the end of the year. The spring energy flows in the right order for your organizational success. If you join the 100-day program or All Access Now, you naturally will want to declutter and organize. And then when you do it again in the fall, because it's a lifetime membership, you will capitalize on that organization and increase productivity, and you will keep going round and round. Each of my New Year's, January, late spring, and Labor Day, build on the last one. So you could see how each time you go through these, you're going to hit on each levels of those phases of organization. And when you complete all three of the New Year's in one 365-day calendar year, you will have an organized home. So how do we move from this? We're all going to have it. Those three New Year's, you can imagine in your head, oh, she's right, I did open the windows and do all the bed sheets and everything. How do we move from that weekend decluttered hit and miss frenzy and organizational spurts into working a plan that lasts longer than a weekend or a week of organizing and actually creates that transformational organization in your home that you are looking for? So you can check the box and say, I am organized and now I'm working on productivity. The first thing we have to do is figure out how much time you have and block that time off on your calendar every single day. Because the commitment at any level, any amount of minutes that you will give me over time will yield you an organized result, which means like this. If you take a professional athlete, or you know, like somebody who's really, really gifted in some kind of sport, and someone who just has a lot of commitment and drive, and you follow those two people over time, the person who is consistent and committed and practices and practices and practices will outperform the person who has innate talent every single time because of their commitment and their practice. It's really cool to see that you don't have to be genius level organizing. You don't have to be like, I'm going to spend 8 hours a day for 15 weeks of the year. No, it is the commitment of spending time every day working on decluttering, and then working on organizing, and then working on being productive, that over time will yield the most results. Here's how I see people who do the 100-day home organization program have the most success. First of all, it's designed to be done in 15 minutes a day. And 15 minutes a day looks like you watch the 1 to 2 minute video that I give you, and then you go organize that space in your house. And the reason why you can do it is because we have made the program so bite-sized that you can actually do it in 15 minutes a day. It's a sock drawer, it's a silverware drawer, it's cleaning out your makeup. Now, I don't have a lot of makeup and I don't have a lot of shoes. You may be somebody who loves makeup and loves shoes, and you're like, 15 minutes, like, it takes me 15 minutes just to look at my shoes, let alone organize my shoes. Well, then in your case, it may take you an hour that day to do that project, or you may divide that up among a couple of other days. If you really truly only have 15 minutes a day, you can do every other day and spend 15 minutes one day and 15 minutes the next day doing day one and then skip to day three. Each day is independent of the other. And doing this time after time after time, every 100 days, keep going through the program over and over and over again, the commitment and the consistency of going through your home over and over and over again is what yields the organizational success. Now, I find 30 to 60 minutes a day is optimal. If you can find 30 to 60 minutes a day, you will be able to hit the 100 days and you will see a lot more transformation quicker. I want to say right now, you are never, I repeat, never, okay, two people out of 1,200 have actually done the 100-day program in 100 days. But even they missed a couple days and had to go back and catch up. Most people, I want you to hear that, like 99.5% of people did not get through all the 100 days in 100 days. I do not expect that you will get through the 100 days in 100 days. I expect that you'll get to day 42 the first time. And I will tell you, the majority of people get to day 21 or 42 the first time. That's why it's a lifetime membership. I don't want you to have this expectation on yourself that you are going to do this once and be done in 100 days, and then this is going to be checked off forever. I want to support you along the journey of getting your home organized. Now, if you don't have 30 to 60 minutes a day, maybe you have 2 hours twice a week. It's the same amount of time. So maybe you say Thursday nights and Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings and Friday nights are going to be my organizing time, or I'm just going to do 4 hours on a Saturday morning for organizing. This is what I'm going to do for the next 15 weeks or however long. 2 hours twice a week is still the same amount of time. You're just going to do a couple of days in a row instead of one day at a time. Now, they say you can't buy time, but I 100% disagree with that statement. And I know for a fact that every single minute you spend organizing will buy you time in the future. You know this is true. Like, even just the simple thing of dumping out your purse, rearranging your purse, and putting it back together again, don't you save time every time you reach into your purse for your wallet or your lipstick or whatever? Or when was the last time that you went and you just really cleaned out your closet and then you went in the next day to get dressed? Weren't you able to make decisions and get dressed faster? Organization always, always, always buys you future time. So the real question is, when and where are you going to start? I want to make sure that you have your paper filled out now. So we've written down our time, how many minutes per day you have or minutes per week. You know where you are in your cycle. You know your why, the areas that are easy for you to organize, the areas that are hard for you to organize. Why now is a great time for you to do this in your calendar. So if you're listening to this real time, it would be spring, and it's because the organizational spring energy is in the right order. And then now we're going to work on the bottom of this paper, which is, what is your next 100-day plan? I'm going to tell you about the 100-day home organization program and all access in detail so you know exactly what Organize 365 has to offer. If you have another plan, write that down. And I also right now want you to think back to 100 days ago, which was the beginning of January 1st. January 1st, when you were going to get organized and you had a plan, what was your plan to get organized? And how well did you do on that plan? How well were you able to stick to that plan? And did you get as much organizational success as you had hoped you would? So there are three steps to having any successful organization plan. The first one is you need to comprehensively go through your whole home 3 times a year. So those 3 seasons I told you about will spark your organization, and you will do that 3 times a year. The second one is paper is its own beast. Like right now, if you've never gotten organized before and you feel totally overwhelmed and you're full of clutter, you might be thinking, why does she keep talking about paper? I don't even have paper. Let me just tell you, this is a fact. When you do the 100-day program and you start to get your house organized, you then will realize how much paper you have. You don't think you have any, but when you start getting organized, you will realize you have so much paper, and that is a whole different organizational plan. And the third key to a successful organizing plan is putting that time on your calendar every single day and every single week so that you can invest in your organization consistently. So our answer to number one is to follow a plan and go through your house 3 times a year. This is the 100-day home organization program, and I'm going to go through this with detail in in this rest of this video on this podcast. Now, normally, when people are watching this masterclass live, they're typing in their questions as they go. So feel free to turn your paper over and write down any questions that are coming to your mind as you're listening or watching this. And then if your question is not answered by the end of this podcast or this live training, go ahead and email us, lisa@organize365.com, and Michelle will clarify anything that you don't understand from this point forward. Okay, so the 100-day home organization program starts in the kitchen, and there's a reason for this. Number one, almost everyone says the easiest area for them to organize is their kitchen. Not the easiest one to keep clean or for their family to toe the line on, but the easiest one for them to start. Like, push come to shove, I think all of you could sort a silverware drawer, right? Like, you can sort your silverware drawer. Because you already know how to do that, and I'm going to have you do it, and I'm going to show you a video, and I'm going to take you through the 5 steps of organizing any drawer when you do that, you're going to be like, okay, I know how to organize a silverware drawer. Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about it that way. I didn't realize I was going through all these steps in organizing a silverware drawer the way Lisa just said, but I definitely am. I definitely am going through all of those steps. And then you in your brain are going to learn that is how you organize any drawer. And the tips and tricks I just taught you about what you naturally are doing in your silverware drawer are going to help you a week later when we're doing the junk drawer in the kitchen, and a couple days later when we're doing all the other weird random stuff that you have in drawers in your kitchen. And so you're not only getting through your house and getting organized, you're literally learning how to think like an organized person, how to make those organizational decisions as you go along. 3 weeks, people. We're going to be in the kitchen 3 weeks. This is where you are. It's really, really easy to talk to other people in Facebook groups about how they're organizing their Tupperware, how they're organizing their pots and pans, what they're doing with their spices, how long can we see spices. It's a very common thing that we could talk about, and most of our kitchens have just about everything the same, and we've organized the space before. This is not the first time you've tried to organize your kitchen. Also, the majority of your awake time is spent in your kitchen. And if you have family, they're in there too. And they will notice your change and what you're doing and getting organized right away. So we start in the kitchen. Then we move the next 3 weeks into the areas that are going to impact you. Not your family, but you. Your master closet, your master bathroom, and your bedroom. And these three spaces, what I find to be true is people usually tackle 2 out of the 3. So either they could do the bedroom and bathroom, but the closet is hard, or they do the closet and bathroom, but the bedroom has become their hot mess room and they really can't tackle that the first time through. So if you get to the days 22 to 41 and you notice one of those three is harder for you to do than the others, totally normal. Totally normal. Don't worry about that. But when you can get those 3 weeks done, this is where you spend the majority of your time, going to sleep, getting up, getting ready. Now, once these two big areas are done and we're through 42 days, your kitchen, your bedroom, your bathroom, your closet are functioning well, this is where you spend 80% of your time in your house, are in these areas. And it is immediately going to give you extra time, extra motivation. You're going to feel good about yourself because whenever you walk in these areas, you're going to be like, yeah, this is organized. This is organized. Now, every other area of your house is going to start to seem so much more disorganized because these will be organized. And that's where day 42 to 100, we go into family rooms, garages, storage rooms, all of that. I will tell you, your first time through the 100-day program, this is where you're going to see the biggest impact, and then your energy is going to wane, and you're going to fall off. Totally normal. I totally expect it. You should too. So do not worry if you don't get past day 42 the first time, because the second time through, you'll breeze through these spaces, and the encouragement and motivation and energy that you have and the new skills you've learned will start to carry you further into the 100-day program. When you sign up, you end up getting logged on to our dashboard. So this is what the Organize 365 dashboard looks like. There are 5 purple slash pockets at the top, and all of those are the 100-day program. You will be able to see all 100 lessons at once. So if you want to start early or you're listening to this podcast in July, feel free to join anytime. Like, this is not a metered out program. You have access to all of it right away. You can jump in at any time and get organized. And then on the webinar, I'm showing inside of the 100-day program. Here you have the video. It's only 1 to 3 minutes in length. It is not supposed to be long. It's supposed to get you started, get the ball rolling, and then you organize your space in that 15 minutes a day. There's a little bit of a blog post. There's an image of what my house looks like, or maybe some ideas of other people's houses. And then on the bottom, if there's any specific organizer I used in the space, I give you a link to that organizer in case you need that as well. The other component of the 100-day program, which is really fun when you start and becomes more powerful as you progress through the 100 days, is the planner. And the planner is no joke, you guys. It's pretty significant. It's 120 days, so it's not a full 365-day planner. It's designed to have three of them throughout the whole calendar year. One is included with your purchase. Everyone after that is you purchase a la carte if you like it. The first, like 15 pages, are all about planning and living a productive life. The more you do the 100-day program, the more those front pages have meaning for you and help you shape a truly powerful, productive life. Inside of the main part of the planner that's broken out month by month and week by week, every single week we have a two-page spread in which we walk you through a printable that goes with the week. So like when you're doing the home office, then we're going to have two pages that go with the home office. Turn the page, you get to plan out your week. Goes right along with the Sunday basket. The Sunday basket is not included in the 100-day program, but all of my systems go together. And the last component of the 100-day program is the Facebook group. So we have a live Facebook group where everybody interacts. Some people are like, what if I'm not on Facebook? This is the only way to do this. We do have people that will create a Facebook account just to be in the Facebook group, and they do it anonymously. As long as you tell Michelle, she will let you in the group. It's a very powerful part of the program, but it's not necessary. And then every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., I answer pre-submitted questions. So we'll put a Facebook post up on Sunday night, and you start typing in your questions. Monday night, Michelle puts that into a Google Doc for me. I print it out. Tuesday morning, I go through and I answer all of those questions on a live. So the 100-day program has a prep week that I didn't even talk about. It's new this year. The daily videos, the planner, the weekly Q&A with Lisa, and exclusive Facebook group. It is a one-time payment of $497, or we have two payment plans. You can break it into two payments of $265 or six payments of $96. And this is a lifetime program. So once you pay once, I mean, this is the 11th time that we're running it, so those people have never paid again. If you want another planner, or we have this thing called Planner Day that you can add on, those are add-ons, but the actual program, being able to log into that part of your dashboard, that is a lifetime purchase. So that's the 100-day home organization program that solves the first key to successful organization plan, having a plan for going through your home every 100 days. This is where you may be good at the kitchen and the bathroom and the closet, but you get stuck with the family room and the garage and the storage room. Those are going to be fleshed out in the 100 days, and you're going to increase and grow your organizational muscles and learn how to organize all those tougher spaces in your house. The second key to a successful organization plan is to have a completely different plan for your paper. So on the webinar, I'm showing you our three plans right now. We have the 100-day program. I'm about to talk about All Access, and then we have something called All Access Platinum that I'll end at the end. All Access basically is the 100-day program plus everything I have related to paper plus a bunch of bonuses. So this is what your dashboard is going to look like if you are in All Access. The top row that is purple is everything related to the 100-day. The middle row, which is teal, are all the paper organizing solutions I'm about to tell you in this video. And then once you have both of those, the bottom row of navy blue, which is 5, but when you log in, it'll probably be 8 because in May we're changing it, are all of the bonuses that come with All Access. So if you do the 100-day program plus paper, then you're in All Access, and there are some bonuses that come with that I'll go through as well in a minute. The first part of getting your paper organized is the Sunday basket. If you've been listening to me for more than a hot second, you have heard about the Sunday basket. It's a $97 system that has a box that looks like a basket, certain slash pockets in it, and a whole training in order to help you organize the mail, the daily to-dos, the projects, the ideas, everything that comes into your house that usually ends up on your kitchen counter or floating around in your mind or your email inbox. We create a system for going through that every single Sunday. That is included in All Access as well. It's called the Sunday basket. The second part of organizing your paper, I told you back in 2012, I went through all of my papers in my filing cabinet and I eliminated 80%. But with the 20% I had left, I put it back in the filing cabinet. And the problem with that was Filing cabinets are not portable, and filing cabinets have no constraints, which means that you can fill them as much as you want or pile stuff all the way around them. And what I finally realized was, after organizing hundreds of women in Cincinnati, and I'd probably say I did paper for about half of them, I would organize their filing cabinets too. And I tried colored files. There's some filing solutions on the market. I bought them all. I tried them all with my clients, and none of them worked to my satisfaction. And I realized the problem was we were trying to use a filing cabinet. And the only way to get people to truly look at their paper differently was to totally eliminate the filing cabinet. Oh, well, if we don't have the filing cabinet, then what do we have? What we have are these four binders. They're 2-inch, D-ring, one-touch, deluxe binders. We had somebody just come to the paper organizing retreat, and she said, okay, I have looked. I am a binder snob. I have looked everywhere, and I cannot find a binder as high quality as yours. I said, I know, because the manufacturer, when we had them making it and I told them my specifications, they said, do you know how much that binder is going to cost? I said, yes, make it. I love binders. I mean, these are deluxe binders. They are 2 inches thick. I have lived in my house for 22 years. I have 2 kids, multiple businesses. All of our paperwork fit in these 4 binders. I don't need more binders. Once you have the right binders, you can then eliminate your filing cabinet into binders versus trying to figure out what you should and shouldn't have. Now, one of the things, I guess I haven't been doing a very good job of explaining this, is somebody said, does anything come in the binder? Oh, yes, so much comes inside of the binder. We have all of these printables. It's a combination ebook, printables, organizational system that comes within each of the binders, and they are anywhere from 40 to 60 pages is printed, comes with the binder, along with colored slash pockets that match the binder and business card holders, so you could put in any contact information you need for each of those binders. So they really are the answer for everything that you need inside of your filing cabinet put into binders, which then are portable. So if there's a fire, if there's a hurricane, if there's any other natural disaster, or even you want to move, it's just so much easier to take your paper with you. The third component of our paper organizing system, after you have the Sunday basket and you're getting all the binders, is we support you in something called the Sunday Basket Club. So doing the Sunday basket on your own is awesome, but some people like additional accountability, support, camaraderie, and they like to do it virtually. So Monique and Michelle run the Sunday Basket Club every single Sunday for 90 minutes. So you could just sit there with them and do your Sunday basket. They'll answer questions as they're asked, and they hold you accountable for doing your Sunday basket every single week. And then twice a month on Tuesday mornings, after I do the 100-day question and answer, Monique jumps in the Sunday Basket Club, and she answers specifically paper-related questions as well. So that is the All Access plan, which is the most popular. All Access includes the whole 100-day program, plus a physical Sunday basket, plus all 4 binders, plus the Sunday Basket Club, and all of these bonuses I'm about to tell you about now. The first bonus is 28 days from hot mess room to organized storage room. Here's what I found to be true. Organizing your house through the 100-day program is completely different than organizing a storage room. We do the storage room in the 100-day program for 7 days, and you can start to organize your storage room with that. But when you truly want to set up your storage room in a very, very organized way, there is a system to doing it, and I have replicated it over and over and over again. And the thing that people get caught up in organizing their storage room is they think, I don't have a basement. I don't have a this. I don't have a that. And this program will work in a basement, an attic, a garage, a guest room, or an outside storage unit. You have one of those 5. I have no problem with you getting an outside storage unit for your storage, especially if you live in an area where there is no garage or you live in an apartment. Not a problem. I think storage units serve a purpose, but they should be organized. And the way to do this is this 28-day plan. Now, I'm not saying you can do it in 15 minutes a day. You know it is a hot mess room, right? But when you follow this step by step by step all the way through, you will end up with a glorious, gorgeous, organized storage room that works. The reason why this is a bonus in All Access is because you need to have your home already organized before you tackle this. Your organization muscles need to be really, really good before you try to set up a storage room the way I'm going to explain in All Access. The second bonus is 10 steps to an organized email. This is where I go through my email and I show you how I get to inbox zero, or right now it's about inbox 20. I'm fine with 20 to zero is about what I try to get to most days. I only get to email inbox zero maybe a couple times a year. Let's be honest. As soon as I do, another email comes back in. But I don't set up folders. I think my admins do, but I never use folders. I don't understand folders. I'm not a digital person. So I unsubscribe to things. But I use Gmail, and I'll show you in Gmail how when I look at my email, I have my inbox here, and then I have these different sections that match my Sunday basket so that I can color code things. And that works only inside of Gmail, but this program, 10 Steps to Organize Email, will take you from, some people have 25,000 emails, down to, you know, 20 and everything organized. Again, just like the organizing the storage room, you need to have your Sunday basket working. You need to have your house organized. You need to have your filing cabinet and binders before you're going to start tackling this behemoth of your email. But when you're ready, you'll just go step by step by step. Some of those steps may take weeks. It's fine. When you're done, your email will be as organized as your storage room is. Bonus number three are some fun rainbow printables I used to have on Etsy, so I just threw them in here. Bonus number four is I realized with so many people in the All Access program, they're doing the 100 days, plus they're doing their Sunday basket, plus they're doing their binders, and they're trying to add in the hot mess room. They needed another touch of me. And so what we do is once a month, we send anyone that's in All Access a newsletter. And in that newsletter, we tell you what the organizational energy of the month is and what the easiest thing for you to organize that month will be so you can follow what is easy seasonally. And we have a webinar where I then verbally tell you about that energy and I answer any pre-submitted questions specifically around how to do all of All Access within a calendar year. Bonus number five is 10 steps to an organized move. So when you're ready to move, you just download this and go through that book. And bonus number six is brand new. It's being released May 1st. By the time you hear this on the podcast, it will be released. The number one request we have been having is, can you please make the binder inserts editable? And we did. It took forever. There are so many lines. Those inserts are so detailed, and we revamped the inserts as well. So everything's been upgraded, edited, and we made everything absolutely editable, but that is only a bonus inside of All Access. So if you buy the binder outside of All Access, you will not receive the editable PDFs that go with that. All right, All Access really is our All Access, our all-in program. It is one payment of $997, or we just came up with a payment plan for All Access, which we have never had before. It is six payments of $186. So many people have already been taking advantage of this. They're like, thank you so much, because I wanted all of the things together. If you take us up on the payment plan, however, we do not ship you the whole $1,000 worth of product and unlock your whole dashboard. What we do is we give it to you over time as you make your payments. So with your very first payment, we will send you the planner and the Sunday basket and unlock your whole 100-day dashboard. So you can make your Sunday basket, go through your planner, do the 100 days. You'll have no problem. You can get through all of that. Then on payment number five, which is about when you're done with the 100-day program, that's when we will ship you your four binders. And on your last payment, we will go ahead and unlock everything on your dashboard. You'll be able to get all your bonuses at that time. Now, the third plan that we have that will be expiring June 1st and will be replaced with something else is called All Access Platinum. And All Access Platinum is $2,000. It has the 100-day program in it. It has everything you just heard about All Access in it, and then these additional bonuses. You will get a ticket to Embrace in June. It's our last Embrace, which is why this is expiring June 1st. You'll get a ticket to May 4th Planner Day, which is already passed if you're listening to this on the podcast, but Planner Day is where you spend 2.5 hours with me in a small group going through the planner page by page. That first part of the planner I told you that helps you increase your productivity includes that ticket, normally $99. You'll get a ticket to the live September paper organizing retreat here in Cincinnati, two coaching calls with me on the phone, and then also another printable that'll map out your 365 days. At the time of this recording, we just have 10 slots left, so it may be that this is already sold out by the time that you watch it, but this will be replaced by something else in July as well. One of the questions people will often ask me is, if I buy the 100-day program, can I upgrade to All Access later? Yes, absolutely. You could buy the 100-day program, go through that, and you can upgrade to All Access later. That'll be a different thing that you could do on your dashboard. I'm trying to think of other questions people normally ask me. I think I did a pretty good job of explaining it this time. But feel free to email us, lisa@organize365.com, if you have any questions about anything. You can go to organize365.com. Just scroll down. You're going to see this graphic that's going to have 100 days, All Access, and All Access Platinum. And then you'll see all the different purchasing points. And if you click on any of the pictures, it'll take you to just the 100-day program, just All Access, and show you everything that's within each of those programs. I am so excited. I want you to know that you are not alone. You have what it takes. You were made for this. You are ready to get organized, and I would love to be part of your organizational journey. Thanks, everyone.